Good morning and welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local evangelist at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program this morning. We hope that you'll become a regular listener. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of the services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to invite you to come out and be with us this Lord's Day, or any time that you have the opportunity, you will always be warmly received. In the previous weeks, we have discussed, verse by verse, the teaching of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 35. These verses are clearly defined as answering the question asked by his disciples, when would these things be? These things were the destruction of Jerusalem. We have shown by the context of Matthew 24 and the events that took place in A.D. 70 that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. On this first 35 verses, there is no reference at all to anything concerning the second coming of Christ. No rapture, no 7 years tribulation, no battle of Armageddon, no 1,000-year reign, no kingdom being set up on earth, and the Lord reigning in the city of Jerusalem at the temple site for 1,000 years. Such teaching is foreign to Matthew 24. 1 through 35. But now we want to examine the rest of the text and the other questions that were asked by the disciples. Remember, there were three. The sign of these things, the destruction of the temple, what will be the sign of your coming, and the end of the age. Okay, what's going to be the sign of his coming and the end of the age? In a figurative way, there were going to be two signs of his coming. The first one is discussed in verses 1 through 35, and that's the sign of his coming in judgment against the city of Jerusalem. And we've discussed that at great length. You can look at the context, and verse 33 says, when you see these things, this is in a figurative way, Jesus coming in judgment against unfaithful Israel. Now, in verse 36 is a transition verse to answer the last question. What will be the sign of the end of the age? Okay, the end of the world. When is that going to take place? Now, from verse 36 all the way to the end of chapter 25, Jesus is going to answer the question about the second coming of Christ. This is reference to the second coming of Christ. But it is very much different than the first 35 verses that we examined before. Let us see how. Verse 36 says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Notice, that day and hour. In the previous verses, we've been talking about plural days. We've been talking about these days, verse 19, verse 22, verse 29. These days describe a different set of days. These days describe the period of the destruction of Jerusalem. In Matthew 24, verse 36, 42, 50, and also 25, verse 13, it discusses a singular day, that hour. Now, the expression the day, the great day, that hour, are known expressions in Scripture concerning the final judgment of Jesus Christ. You can see that in Matthew 7, 22, Matthew 11, 22, and 24, and also Matthew 12, verse 36. When Christ speaks of that day in Matthew 24:36, he is speaking of the final judgment. Nowhere in the New Testament do we find the plural, the days of vengeance, those days, used in reference to the second coming of Christ, to final judgment. Also see in verse 36, there's something else that's new. No one knows, not even the angels of heaven. Though the expression neither the Son is not included in the text in some translations, they are included in Mark's account in Mark 13:32. The time of the second coming and the end of the world was not known to Christ while he was upon the earth. How can this be reconciled with Matthew 24:15 if this verse also designates the second coming of Christ? Now, therefore, when you see, there was something that you were going to see. The abomination of desolation. That would told you that these things, the destruction of Jerusalem, was going to take place. Those were visible signs. of the destruction and impending doom of Jerusalem. In verse 36, we're talking about a singular day, a day that no one knows, not even the angels, nor Jesus while he was on earth, only the Father in heaven. No one knows. Now, note the contrast between the destruction of Jerusalem and the second coming of Christ. The destruction of Jerusalem, specific signs are given, and we've already studied them. Time for flight. They were to leave. Don't go back to your house. Don't go back and get any clothes. Hope it's not on the Sabbath. Hope it's not during the winter. The second coming of Christ, it won't matter. It won't matter what time it is. It won't matter what you're doing. And it won't matter if it's summer, winter, fall, or spring. It won't matter because that will be the end of time. This is distinctly different from what we read earlier. The second coming of Christ and the end of the world, there are no signs given. And how do we know that? Look at the passages. Let us begin reading in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, in the days of Noah, Noah preached while he was building the ark that God was going to send destruction upon the earth, that it was going to rain, and the every inch of the earth would be covered with water, and God was going to destroy the earth. They didn't believe. They rejected his preaching, and they would not repent. But the day came when Noah was commanded to close the ark. God closed the ark on Noah and all the things that he took in, and life went on as normal on the earth. But then the rain came. And when the rain came, then the realization came that this was the end, just as Noah had preached to them. But they didn't believe it, and they just carried on their normal life. This will be the same way that will happen when the second coming of Christ comes. It will be sudden. It will be without warning. It will be without signs. And men and women will be going through their normal daily routines when the Son of Man comes. Why? Because it's unexpected. Read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 through 11, discusses that he will come as a thief in the night. A thief in the night does not announce that he's coming. He comes when you're not expecting him. That's the same way the Lord will come in the second coming of Christ. In verse 40 it says that two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Now why? Because there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a judgment made. Some are going to be lost, some are going to be saved. Some are going to go to their eternal reward. Some are going to eternal condemnation. There's going to be a separation made. And then notice verse 42. Watch, therefore, and do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Notice, an hour, a particular time. Not days, not signs, but no one knows the hour, a particular time. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Again, this refers to the suddenness of the coming that is under consideration in these verses. It's going to come at an unexpected time. If I knew when a thief was going to break into my house, I'd have the authorities waiting for him, and there I wouldn't incur any loss, and he would be arrested. And so these verses again emphasize the suddenness and the unknown time of the coming of Christ. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. The one that's going to be blessed by God is the one that's preparing for his coming, the one that is busy. The one that is doing the things that God has asked him to do, that man's going to be blessed. He's going to be doing the work that God gave him to do. Surely I say to you that he will make him ruler over his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, And he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come in a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice, this again emphasizes the suddenness and unexpectedness of the master's coming. Oh, he's not coming, he's delayed. It's the same attitude described in 2 Peter 3. Let all things be continue as they were from the beginning. And so the sun came up tomorrow, it'll come up today, it comes up tomorrow, it'll come up the next day. And so they believe he's delaying. In 2 Peter chapter 3, they asked the question, where is the sign of his coming? All things continued as they were. But they were mistaken then, and men will be mistaken then. Now, because when they asked that question, where is the sign of his coming, for all things continue as they were from the beginning, that was false, because God destroyed the world with the flood, and things started over. And so they forgot that. They ignorantly forgot that. Willfully were ignorant of that fact. And so they did not understand. These verses are emphasizing the suddenness and unexpected return of the Lord. No signs, no warning, no date, no time. It's going to come in an unexpected event. That is very different than what we read in the first 35 verses of Matthew 24. Now, he says that servant will be caught unprepared, and he will go where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is punishment. There's going to be punishment, and it's going to be very extreme. Now, the mistake that is made is that people quit reading at the end of chapter 24. But chapter 25 re-emphasizes that this is talking about the second coming of Christ. In Matthew 25, in verse 1 through 13, and Matthew 25, 14 through 30, you have two parables. In chapter 24, 45 through 51, you have the parable of the servants, the one that's prepared and the one that is unprepared. In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, you have the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 that were wise, 5 that were foolish. And then in Matthew 25, you have the parable of the talents. The one that had 5, the one that had 2, and the one that had 1. The one that had 5 went out and made 5 more. The one that had 2 went out and made 2 more. And the one with 1, he went and hid his and then gave it to his Lord when he returned. Now you notice the first two were called faithful servants and were told that they did things in a proper manner. But the last servant was told that he was an unprofitable servant because he had not done that which the Lord commanded him to do. And he was taken out, and he was had the talent taken away from him, and he was cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That again, all three of these parables emphasize prepare, prepare, prepare. The suddenness of giving an account. That agrees with the second coming of Christ. So in these verses, it emphasizes sudden return, unexpected, the need to be ready. That is distinctly different than the signs that would be telltaling in the destruction of Jerusalem. Another subject is under consideration. We will finish this chapter next week, Lord willing. Have a wonderful day.